Our second text is from 1 Kings, so chapter 19, 4 through 8. I'll probably read 3 through 9. I think that helps a little bit. This is a story about Elijah. If you don't know Elijah, that's okay. Elijah is arguably the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. He was taken from earth by God in a flaming chariot at the end of his life. He is one of the two characters, Elijah and Moses, who stood with Jesus at the transfiguration when the disciples saw Jesus change. He was expected in Jewish theology to show up before the Messiah as the herald, the predecessor. But in the text that we're about to read, things are not going so well for the greatest prophet. So listen to these words and listen in them for a word to you. Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went another day into the wilderness. He came to a broom tree and sat under it and prayed that he might die. He said, "Lord, I have had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. And all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for this journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lamb of God, we come to you. We come broken. We come hurting. We come overconfident and under compassionate. We come trusting all the wrong things. We come sinful and guilty. We come tired. But gracious God, we come to you. So speak now your word to us, that we may know Christ and make him known. In him we pray. Amen. Our text this morning is a bridge. It's a transition between two Elijah stories. Just prior to our text, Elijah has had maybe his greatest moment. He has called out 450 prophets of the false god Baal, and he's challenged them to a contest. He meets them on the top of Mount Carmel, and the contest is an altar is built, wood is piled on, and then a sacrifice is laid upon it. And they are challenged to call down fire on the altar. And when they fail, Elijah ups the stakes and three times has people pour water over all of it till it's a big soaking mess. And then, confident of God's presence, he calls out to heaven and fire comes down, not only consuming the offering, but the wood, the altar, and scorching the ground as well. Then in a fury, Elijah rallies the people. And they chase the prophets, the false prophets, down the mountain where they are slaughtered and killed. And then as a final, just a testament to Elijah, he predicts rain in a cloudless sky and then outruns a horse-drawn chariot back to the city. The text after this one has a well-known line in it. Elijah is in a cave. He is afraid, he is tired, he's ready to quit. There's earthquake, there's wind and fire, and the text says in all three cases, the Lord is not in them. And then he hears that line that you may know, the still small voice. Words that have inspired prayers and hymns and sermons and books. Our text connects these two stories, bridges them. How does Elijah get from the victorious hero to the man in the desert giving up? Well, we can thank Queen Jezebel for that. She hears about the death of the prophets, and she sends word to Elijah that fate is awaiting him, that she has put a bounty on his life. And Elijah loses his moxie. His bravado, his confidence is gone. He runs away into the desert. He finds a scrub brush. He wedges himself under it, and he says, "Lord, it is enough. Take my life." Many translations say, "Lord, I've had enough." Now, as you can probably imagine about a 4,000-year-old book, the Bible isn't huge on what we'd call mental health. There's some stuff in it, to be sure, about peace and joy. But most of the Bible comes from a time when life was just assumed to be hard and people were just expected to bear it. There's encouragement, but there's no real understanding of psychology, emotion, depression. But I think this is one of the ripe Bible moments that many can relate to. I've had enough. Elijah, fresh off the big win, should have been feeling good, but instead walks off alone, isolates himself, wrestles with some self-pity, and says, "I don't want to be here. I'm done." Now, we could take lots of guesses at how that happened to him or how that happens to us. But perhaps the most depressing time to be depressed is when there's really no good reason. When things are generally okay, but we're not. When there's some good things we can point to, and we still feel empty. When we're down, but we couldn't tell you quite exactly how we got there. My first real broom tree experience was somewhere around age 30. And I wasn't prepared for how difficult 30 was. And I know in a crowd where most of us are a good bit older than that, we might find ourselves thinking, "Oh yeah, 30, boo-hoo." But 30 snuck up on me. I had a degree, I had a title, I had an office. I had a family, I had a house, I had a job. But I also realized I had bills, I had obligations, I had expectations, and it was going to be harder to make changes. I was getting past the point where I could do whatever I wanted, where I could go try other things. It felt a little stuck. It began to feel like I had more responsibilities than I had opportunities. Stable, but kind of routine, and I began learning about myself that I'm not real good with either of those things. And I had some stuff that I had shoved down and ignored and never really dealt with, and I also started learning that it hadn't gone away. That stuff doesn't disappear just because you ignore it, and no matter how good the walls are you try to build around it, they leak. Now, let me say, things weren't bad. I had a good job, had a house, two awesome girls, great wife, but I was still me. None of it had fixed me. None of it had changed me in the way that I expected it would. There was no there in the place I thought I'd been going to. And I was driving to work one morning in the purple truck that some of you might remember I had when I got here. This was in Texas at the time. And I remember a voice that said to me, "This is the most unhappy I've ever been." And then I have this other voice, and the other voice is less kind. It said, "Don't be an idiot. That's stupid. Things are pretty good right now. There's no way that's true." And the other voice said, "No, I'm serious. Never been less happy." And the other voice said, "Is that true?" "Yeah, it's true." And I had to pull my truck over about two blocks from work. I just had to stop. And I sat there trying to think this through. What was going on? What was happening? Where did this come from? And after a little while, it was literally all I could do to put the truck in gear and drive those last two blocks where I went to church and began to start figuring out what all this might mean and what to do next. Most of us, I think, have had a moment or two like that. Elijah's broom tree moment is literally under the broom tree. Maybe he thought his win on the mountaintop was going to change everything, that all Israel was going to herald him, that it was going to change the nation. Things were going to be better. But they weren't. It didn't. Yeah, okay, the queen wants his head, but that's not new. That was already true. I think there's more going on here. This seems nothing like the guy who thundered away on the mountaintop and made fun of the false gods. And it isn't. Because this guy's strength has cracked a little. This Elijah is broken, scared. And he's not handling it well. For one thing, he withdraws. He handles it in isolation. We always do that, but it's never good. He prays, but I want you to notice something about his prayer. He expects God to join him in his sadness. "Take my life." He doesn't pray for strength. He doesn't pray for courage. He doesn't even pray for safety. Instead, he expects God to recognize how bad it is and agree with him. Which I'll just tell you, if you read the rest of the story, God does not. Here, under the broom tree, fed up and giving up, Elijah is overwhelmed. And the angel shows up, because that's the way it works in the Bible, to care for Elijah. In the most practical sense, get up, eat, and drink. And if you've been through a time like Elijah, you know that's not a small request. Get out of bed and care for yourself. Eat something. Get some water. Get some rest. Not just sleep, but rest. The second time the angel wakes Elijah up, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. And probably this means the trip that he's going to take to the cave. But it's a beautiful sentence. The journey is already too much for him. He eats, drinks again, and takes a 40-day journey to the cave where he will meet with God. And it's important to remember that 40 in the Bible always means a difficult time. Whenever you read 40 years, 40 days, 40 nights, it's not only telling you how long it took, it's telling you something about that time, that it wasn't easy. And I don't want to turn this into modern psychology, but there is something to learn here. The times when we've had too much, when we feel like we cannot handle anymore, especially when those times take us by surprise, and some of you have been there, maybe you are there, or you have loved people who are or have been, it is a hard place. There's no way to minimize that. The broom tree isn't a place of hope. It isn't a place of encouragement. It's dry. It's dusty. It's hot. It's lonely. It's where life doesn't seem worth it. It's where our prayers lack energy, and we expect even God to see it our way. As if God himself would say, yeah, that's tough. It's not worth it. Well, first, these are dangerous times to be alone. And there are times when practical ways of self-care can be abandoned. When eating and sleeping become part of the problem and not part of the solution. The bad news is there's no simple answer for those times. God is with us, but not in the big, powerful ways that you look for. Not the miracle fix, not the neon sign. Just the still, small voice that barely registers. And it's pretty hard to hear. What do we do in those moments when the journey is hard? Well, if there's a clue in this text, it might be this. Start with the little thing. Eat, preferably real food. Sleep, hopefully real sleep. Pray, but just talk. Don't try to convince God of your position. You're going to end up frustrated. And I would add, get help. If an angel doesn't come to you, go find one, preferably a professional one. Friends, family, pastors, and such are great, but broom trees really aren't the place for amateurs. I would say it usually takes a qualified guide to lead you on that journey. I might even say that the greatest lesson of the broom tree is that none of us are strong enough to do it by ourselves. I've had enough. We've probably all been there. No one should stay there. It is the soul's cry of being tired, of being worn down and losing perspective. No one walks confidently out from under the broom tree. You drag yourself a step at a time until you're restored, and 40 days for that trip is probably on the short side. But this, and I think this is the word we need, you do come out. You do come out. The still small voice does find you. God does fill you back up, and you continue on. And the world needs people who have been there but didn't stay there, because if everyone who has had enough checked out and didn't go on any farther, nothing would ever change. The broom tree is the place we find after we've gone too far, we've gotten too tired. It's really more of a respite center than a rest stop. And to get past it, we need some help. Can't do it on our own. But if you happen to be there this morning or know someone who is, please hear this. God does know that you are there. And God does invite you somewhere else, which may not make it easier, but it does make it possible to go on. Remember that the next time you find yourself under the broom tree. Amen.